Coming to you from the mountains and the plain, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Otto.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance. And now your hosts, Joe Otto and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire, coming live with our special weekend edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. This is where we have a Saturday show, and we talk a little bit about history. We don't talk as much about the events of the day, but we try and talk a little bit about history, the things we wish we could talk about if we weren't, and again, this is something we have to do, but if we weren't covering the day-to-day attempts to steal this election, the things that we would have wanted to talk about, things about history that matter. So that's what these weekend podcasts are going to be about. So everyone, make sure that you hit that share button on Facebook. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Make sure you comment on YouTube. Make sure you give us a thumbs up, like the video, hit the subscription button, hit the bell for notifications if you haven't already, and comment as well. I'm streaming this on my own today, so it might go down briefly. If it does, don't worry, I'll get it back up. But I'm trying to stream to both Facebook and YouTube simultaneously. So give me a little love, hit that thumbs up, hit that like button. Really would appreciate it. So today we're going to be talking about the Battle of Athens, not Athens, Greece, not Athens, Georgia, Athens, Tennessee. This is the spot of something that happened in American history that doesn't get taught in high school history textbooks. I mean, maybe it does in Tennessee, for all I know. I don't live in Tennessee. But it's one of these events, when you hear the mainstream media say that voter fraud does not happen, it's one of these things where, when you know about this, it leaves you kind of scratching your head, because American history is full of examples of voter fraud, Democrats trying to steal elections. Last week, on our special weekend edition of the podcast, we talked about the election of 1876, how Democrats in Florida, Louisiana, South Carolina literally tried to steal that election, and it was up to Congress to make sure that they didn't get away with it. This week, we're going to be talking about, again, the Battle of Athens. So again, if you know this, feel free to share. If you don't know it, sit back and enjoy this little history podcast. Oh, a little bit of housekeeping. Tonight, we are probably going to go live tonight at 10:30 Eastern. I know that's crazy. 8:30 Mountain for Joe, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central. We're trying to get a really big guest. Someone that you all know by name, and we're trying to work it out with them. So we are most likely going live tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. Really late, but it's the only time that this individual could give to us. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. We'll send out text alerts. And I did just send out a text alert. If you got the text, let me know in the comment section. My first time doing it. Usually we have other people do it. So if you got the text, let me know, and let me know that it worked. Okay, let's get into the Battle of Athens. So this is a picture of what you see when you go to Athens, Tennessee today. And it is a picture, and you read it. It says, "The Battle of Athens was an armed revolt that gained national attention, attempting to end the control of an entrenched political machine. World War II veterans used force to ensure that on the day of local elections in 1946, every vote was counted as cast. After local authorities locked themselves and the ballot boxes in the jail, veterans suspicious of foul play gathered weapons and ammunition and exchanged fire from this hill upon the jail, which once stood across the street. The besieged authorities surrendered at a meeting in the courthouse. An interim government was set up, followed by the election of the veterans' slate." So really interesting bit of history. And again, just for any fact checkers, I'm not calling for armed revolt. I just think it's interesting to talk about World War II veterans, the greatest generation, when they uncovered massive voter fraud in just a local election. They literally got the guns and stormed the jail where they were stuffing the ballot boxes. But let's get into this. So Athens, Tennessee is in McMinn County. McMinn County, you can see right there in the middle is Athens, Tennessee. And if I say Georgia by accident, I apologize. I'm just so used to saying Athens, Georgia. Athens, Tennessee, McMinn County. Now, that county had been Republican for the longest time. But in the 1930s, specifically in 1936, that changed. A man by the name of Paul Cantrell was elected sheriff. So he was actually elected sheriff, and he got the support from the entrenched Democrat machine up in Memphis. And he won the sheriff's race. Eventually, he starts moving up the ladder, and he becomes, I believe, a state senator. He becomes a state representative. So that's Paul Cantrell, an important name, because he goes from benefiting from the Democrat machine to basically running it. So he basically is put into office in 1936, and immediately people understand that that election was stolen. He had no business winning. It was stolen by the Democrat political machine. And we're going to say that over and over again. When you talk about a machine, if anyone's seen Gangs of New York, if you've ever seen that movie, that is an example of a political machine. Not necessarily the fighting in the streets, but the idea that local officials would just stuff the ballot boxes, right? And they'd send people in to vote. When they came out, they'd go to the barbershop, they'd cut their hair, and then go and vote again, right? Really, really shady stuff happened at the turn of the 20th century and even into the first half of the 20th century. So when we talk about machine, it basically what that means is that they're political officials who have been in power so long, they just run things. And as we know, absolute power ends up corrupting absolutely in pretty much every case. It'd be very hard to find someone who's been in office for years or decades and not abuse their power in some way, shape, or form. So this is Paul Cantrell. He enters into public office in 1936, widely seen to be a stolen election. Actually, let me see what they called it. They called it the vote grab of 1936. That's how it was referred to locally. So he became sheriff in 1936. Eventually, he becomes a state legislator, and the sheriff becomes this man, Pat Mansfield. Now, I'm sorry, the pictures aren't that great from the 1940s and 30s, but this is what we have of Pat Mansfield. He became the sheriff, and like his predecessor, he was incredibly corrupt. He worked for the Democrat machine. Without the Democrat machine, he would have nothing, so he owed everything to them, and he was committed to making sure that the Democrat machine prevailed. So that is happening in the 1930s into the 1940s. And what happened? What's going on in that? At that same time, we're having World War II. So thousands of fighting age men, and for being completely honest, boys from McMinn County, Athens, Tennessee, they go over and they fight in the war. Right? The United States, as we all know, spoiler alert: the United States won World War II. I hope I didn't ruin it for anyone who was waiting to watch the movie. We won World War II, and our guys came back. And that led to what many people agree to be one of the biggest periods of growth in American history. The New Deal politics of FDR isn't what got us out of the Depression. It was federal government spending and the war effort that basically forced us out of the Depression. So all those guys returning home, they came home to a much better economy than when they left. Right, they settle down, they have families. It's a very prosperous time for America, the late 40s, 50s, and 60s. Not saying that it wasn't without problems, as we'll talk about in a second. A lot of racial problems going on in the country still at that point. But just in terms of like economic booms, it was a very stable time in America. So all the boys come back from World War II, and they notice something. They notice that the country that they had left, or at least the county they had left, had become significantly more corrupt than it was as they left us. And I want to read a little bit of an interview by a man named Bill White. Bill White ended up leading or being one of the leaders behind what ended up being called the GI Slate. So one of the ways that the World War II veterans in McMinn County fought against corruption is they decided to put their own candidates up for a local election. And they called that the GI Slate. Bill White. Was one of the vets who helped lead that effort. And he's done interviews. It's been transcribed. I don't know if he's still with us. Many of these people, unfortunately, are no longer with us. So what we're left with is the stories they told, the history that they documented. So I want to read a little bit of this. So this is literally what he was talking about. And then I went home on the bus. And when I got off the bus, there was four deputies standing there flipping over all the service minutes. I thought that was kind of odd. If they found a man was drinking just a beer or two, they grab him and put him in jail. Took money off of him. I asked one of the boys flipping through the service records. They said, yeah, they'll get everybody. I said, they do? He said, yeah. And I said, hellfire. I said, them boys go over there and fight the war and fight them battles. Come back here and they can't do nothing. I said, my God, that's awful. Got a bunch of thugs in here, I reckon. So I need to explain, and it's weird. It might be weird that I'm getting really, really specific into like these local politics, but I need to set the stage for what happened, which was basically armed revolt. So while this is all going on, Democrats weren't just taking over politics. They were also finding a way to enrich themselves. And one of the ways that they decided to do that, and one of the ways to get the police, the local sheriff's department, on the Democrat Party side, is they actually implemented a policy where police officers would get paid basically a bonus per arrest. Really, really scummy. Like, we talked today about police and how they have quotas. We're talking about, at this time, police officers literally got paid by the arrest. They got bonuses. So when you hear Bill White, as I'm reading this, how he got off the bus and they're arresting people right then and there on anything they can find, right? They're going through their service records. If someone's not completely discharged, they arrest them. If someone's drinking in public, they arrest them, right? They're just trying to get them on anything because those police officers stand to gain financially from it. And that's how this whole scheme with the Democrats was built. Democrats seized the power and they got the police to basically prop them up by giving them a cut on the corruption. So let me keep reading. A lot of boys getting discharged were getting the mustering. Well, deputies running around four or five at a time, grabbing up every GI they could find and trying to get that money off of them. They were fee grabbers. They wasn't on a salary back then. Again, the actual salary police got salaries plus bonuses, but people who didn't have salaries, they could just get bonuses for arresting people. Interviewer says they got fees by arrest, and Bill White says, yeah, fees by arrest. And I watched a lot of that going on, and the more I watched it, the sicker I got. And then they killed a GI or two, shot him and killed him. And they'd been killing people long. And we decided that we'd get together on elections coming up, you know. Yeah, we decided to form a GI ticket in the next election and kick them out. Well, we formed a ticket, got candidates to run for every office in McMinn County, and we had meetings, and they put up Jim Buttram, head of the GI ticket, and they put Lawyer Dugan as the publicity agent. I don't want to just go through it, but basically, so I'll put this link in there if you want to read it. It's a really interesting interview. They put up a GI slate of candidates to go up against not just Pat Mansfield, that local sheriff, but also to go up the entrenched politicians like Paul Cantrell. So you had the Democrats, you obviously still had Republicans, but you also had the GI ticket, GI slate. And this is actually a picture of that GI headquarters. And it's advertised, the GI headquarters, a nonpartisan ticket. And the idea was, if you don't like corruption, you don't like the Republicans, don't like the Democrats, vote for the GI ticket and let's get rid of this corruption. So they started making tons of headway, right? Not only were they now having an influx of four or 5,000, I can get the exact number, 3,000. When the war ended in 1945, around 3,000 soldiers from McMinn returned home. So right off the bat, if you're a politician and you're winning elections, all of a sudden having 3,000 people who not only would be voting for a different candidate, but also convincing their friends and family to vote if they might not otherwise be voting, it's a big problem for Democrats. So Democrats were committed to making sure that the GI ticket, the GI slate, did not kick them out of power. So this is where it gets really, really sad. Election day comes around, and there's a gentleman. His name is Tom Gillespie. He's a black man. He's a farmer. He goes to vote. And I want to make sure I do this justice and give you all the details. He goes to vote. And they tell him that it's not his polling station. So he tells them, I've been there. I've voted at this location. I think it was the Waterworks, what they called it locally, the Waterworks. They're telling him, no, this is not where you vote. He's like, listen, I vote here all the time. This is where we vote. A sheriff's patrolman who went by the name of C.M. Wise, went by the nickname of Windy, started basically pushing him around, shouting racist slurs, denying Gillespie the right to vote. When Gillespie kept pushing, that deputy hit Gillespie with brass knuckles. The farmer, Gillespie, dropped his ballot, tried to run away. And at that moment, the deputy shot and killed him. So we talk about election fraud today. I just want to make sure you understand, in this case, a black man tried to vote, and a Democrat deputy, or whatever they call him, patrolman, was so determined to stop him from voting, he shot and killed him right then and there. So that kind of set everything into motion. Democrats had expected, okay, yeah, we're going to get some GI voters, but we can manufacture enough votes at the end of the night. It'll be fine. What they didn't expect was that their one deputy, their one patrolman, CM Wise, Windy Wise, was going to shoot and kill someone for trying to exercise their right to vote. So that kind of made everything go haywire. Democrats grabbed up the ballot boxes and rushed them away in the chaos. The vets are like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Someone just got shot and killed at a polling place? What's going on here? They go, they see the ballot boxes are gone. They're freaking out. And the ballot boxes get taken by the sheriff's deputies to the county jail. We actually have a picture of that. This was the county jail. It was just a building, right? At that point, it wasn't a legitimate jail. It was just a brick building where they housed inmates. Obviously, they had bars and stuff, but it wasn't like it wasn't built to be a jail. It was just a government building. That looks like it could be a boarding house if it wasn't a jail. So the Democrats brought the ballots to the jail and started trying to stuff the ballot box. So you just had a deputy shoot and kill a black man trying to vote for the other side. And now they've brought all the ballot boxes for the whole county to this jail and are stuffing the ballot boxes in the back room. Again, just think about what I'm telling you. All this is true. All this is true. And now think about the parallels in what we saw in places like Milwaukee, in Detroit, in Philadelphia. Not people getting shot, but under the cover of darkness, when all the poll watchers were out of the room, they're counting the ballots. Right? You go through history, I can show you multiple instances in history when Democrats were counting ballots when no one was watching, and they decided to sway it one way or another. So they bring it to the jail. I'm gonna keep telling the story. Make sure that you hit that share button though on Facebook. Make sure you hit the share button. Make sure you give us a thumbs up, like, make sure you comment on YouTube. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Very important. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit the bell for notifications, and comment as well. So they bring it all the ballots to the jail, and the vets are freaking out because the corruption that they had promised that they were going to fight against is now playing out right in front of them. And they're saying, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Well, being World War II veterans, being trained in the use of firearms, what did they do? They went and got the guns. What they got specifically, these guys, this is an M1 Garand or Garand, depending on how you pronounce it. M1 Garand. Actually, apparently, they only had a few of these. They mostly used M1917 bolt-action rifles. But I figured this is as good of an opportunity as any for me to show off my M1. But they went to the National Guard Armory. They raided the armory. And they got as many small arms as they could. The vets. Like, literally. They went to the National Guard Armory, broke down the door. Apparently, actually, they found a key. But they broke in, took the guns, and said, you know what, this isn't going to stand. We're not going to let them stuff the ballot boxes after killing a guy. Now, we're going to stop this right here and right now. So they get the guns, and then they start surrounding the jail. Like, these are real pictures. These are the vets backing the GI ticket, literally going after, surrounding the jail, and opening fire. Like, they didn't just like, it wasn't just a standoff. They were firing at the jail, trying to hit. There were people who were shot. They shot cops. I'll say this again. They shot cops because those cops were part of this corrupt scheme that was literally trying to steal a local election. Now, if they're willing to do this for a local election, it kind of makes you wonder why people are just bending over backwards now, bending over and giving up now. And say, oh, it's over, Trump lost. I mean, these guys had local town races stolen from them, and they start shooting people. But again, they didn't, to borrow a phrase from Rambo, the vets didn't draw first blood. The corrupt sheriff's deputy, patrolman, whatever you want to call him, he drew first blood when he killed Tom Gillespie, who was simply trying to vote. So we have the vets literally shooting at the police officers in the jail. Here's another clip, literally shooting at the police. They're shooting at them. At that point, they realize, okay, this is a brick building. We're not going to just be able to shoot these guys with our M1s or our bolt action rifles. We got to do something else. Says, oh, hold on, I'll be right back. One guy leaves. He comes back with dynamite. I kid you not. The guy comes back with dynamite, and having worked in the military. He knew how to set it up, right? He taped the dynamite together, put a blasting cap in it, ran a fuse, and they had explosives. So then they start lobbing explosives at the jail. This is all true. The vets start lobbing dynamite at the jail, and then they realize, oh, we don't have strong enough arm. So instead of destroying the jail, they destroyed the cop's cruiser. Like that's a picture from the morning after. They blew up one of the police cruisers, and literally it flipped upside down from the blast. Again, this is what the Greatest Generation was willing to do to stop a local election from being stolen. Just keep that in the back of your head. So then they say, okay, well, we're not going to be able to throw it at the jail from across the street. Someone's going to have to go up there and put explosives on the door. And you think, surely, like, yeah, what they're doing is right, right? I mean, these people were stealing election. They just shot and killed someone. They had killed multiple vets. They were basically shaking everyone down, stealing their money, arresting them on bogus charges. This is tyranny. This is why the founding fathers gave us the right to keep and bear arms. To keep and bear arms, we don't have the right to keep and bear arms in case the deer attack, in case bears or pheasants attack. It's in case government gets out of hand. And it's not just federal government. It's state, local as well. In addition to, in case we ever get invaded by another country. So these guys, fresh back from the war, said, oh, no. I did not just go fight for this. So yes, they were lobbing explosives at the jail, destroyed police cars, destroyed a number of cars. Some of them at the time this picture was taken must have been hauled away. But yes, that is a picture of a police cruiser flipped upside down as a result of the explosions from the dynamite that the vets were hurling at the jail to try and kill the police officers who were stuffing the ballot box. So they said, okay, this isn't going to work. I'm sorry, Jimmy, whatever the guy's name is. You don't have a good arm. We're not going to be able to throw the dynamite far enough. Okay, you're going to have to go place it on the door. I'm like, what? Yes, we're going to have to go place it on the door. We're going to breach the jail. Because the jail was locked. They locked it all up. So they ran up, grabbed dynamite, put it against the door, set the fuse, ran away, blew open the door. At that point, the cops are still fighting back, so they can't just run in. So, okay, they say, okay, I thought that was surely going to do the job. I thought that feeling the shake of the demolition charges, I thought surely they would come to their senses and realize they're not going to get out of this alive if they keep going down this path. Okay, make a bigger bomb. That's what the order came down for. Make a bigger bomb. So they took all of the explosives they had left, and they made a bigger bomb. Again, the guy runs across the street, puts it up against the building, lights the fuse, runs away. Bigger explosion this time. I mean, this is the Greatest Generation. Bigger explosion. All of a sudden, all of the white flags start fluttering outside the windows. That second bomb did the trick and convinced the sheriff and his deputies and his patrolmen that they're not going to come out of this alive. These guys don't just have small arms. They have explosives. They have dynamite. And I guess if they have dynamite, they could have had more. You have no idea what these people have. They just raided the armory. So they get in and they arrest. They do a citizen's arrest on everyone involved. Yes, they were stuffing ballots. Yes, they were removing GI votes from the ballot boxes. They were cheating. They were stealing this election because they had too much on the line. Democrats had all of their everything invested in this. The patrolmen were getting paid under this Democrat scheme every time they arrested someone. They didn't want to risk the GI ticket coming in, reforming the town, reforming the county, reforming the state, and cutting them out. So they went in and they caught them all. And these are the guys. This is what's great. At least they got a high definition picture of this. These are the sheriff's deputies and patrolmen who were involved in this scheme. Facebook, it's not doxing. These are historical photos. This is them locked up in the jail. They are locked up in the jail after the vets retook the town. I just love this. I love this picture because you see from the beginning, you see how smiling they are, how happy they are. There's Cantrell. I don't think he was there at the time. Here's Mansfield, all happy, all stoic. And then this is what they look like once the jig is up and they're caught. So yes, they got arrested. Yes, they got locked up. And their scheme was not allowed to go through. And the good news is that they were able to actually hold a real election. And yes, the GI slate of candidates did win. Here's Knox Henry. He became the new sheriff. The GI slate of candidates, GI ticket, won. And this is the guy who won the sheriff's race. So they kicked out Mansfield. And they got the GI in to make sure that he could help get rid of the corruption, restore some order, restore some common sense to everything. And I want to just read a little bit of how the Associated Press reported it, because remember, the AP didn't used to be fake news. They actually used to report real news. This is how it ran with the Associated Press. Armed veterans run town after Tennessee bloodshed. I mean, that's an honest headline. I probably would have written it a little bit different. But yes, bloodshed, a voter was killed, and the armed veterans run the town. And it says, Athens, Tennessee, August 2nd. War veterans who backed up their ballots with bullets and won in a raging six-hour battle that left 18 wounded and the county jail in a shambles, patrolled strife-torn McMinn County with rifles tonight to maintain order. So they didn't just stop the steal. They also then basically took over the town. Eventually, the state came in, right, and restored order. But they weren't just stopping that. They said, okay, you're done. You're not enforcing order at all. You're done. We're the cops now. But that's how the AP used to report honesty like this. Like, yeah, someone was killed trying to vote. The vets came in, bombed the jail to stop them from stuffing the ballot box, arrested them all, and then patrolled the town to make sure there was order. It's an amazing story, one that I wish there's a lot, like in Second Amendment groups, they talk about this, right? This is like seen as the main case for how the Second Amendment is important locally. Now, it's important to note that they didn't use their own guns. They went to the National Guard armory and they took their guns. So whether or not that's legal or not, I don't know. But they were fighting tyranny, right? Their cause was absolutely just. The cop had just killed a black man trying to vote against Democrats after beating him with brass knuckles. So we see this, and we see that this is what the greatest generation was willing to do to ensure that their franchise, their right to vote, was protected. What are you seeing now? When you look around now and you see what's happening in places like Michigan, where 70-71% of the actual precincts are in Detroit are reporting irregularities and discrepancies that would make the ballots unrecountable. Let me explain what that means. The way they reported the number of votes versus the number of registered voters would force tons of ballots to be thrown out because they would not survive scrutiny during a recount or an audit. The Democrats forced Republicans, under threats against their family, to certify those results. Right? When you look at what I just talked about, yeah, someone in the comment section just said Dominion voting. Yeah. I mean, they're taking this small town Athens, Tennessee, taking what happened there, and they've made it digital. The only difference is you can't go down to the jail and stop the ballot box stuffing because it's happening in cyberspace. According to certain allegations, it's even happening outside the US, being routed to different servers in Germany. Right? The difference is nothing's changed. Democrats are still stealing elections. Democrats are still fighting tooth and nail to make sure their own power is preserved. The difference is that it's not in a central location. It's not down at the county jail with the ballot boxes being stuffed. It's in cyberspace. It's a much more detailed organization. So the question is, I'm not saying that we all need to go grab our M1 Garands like I have. I'm not saying that we all go do that. I'm not saying that we literally start shooting cops. But surely we should be doing more than we're doing. Now, we're blowing the whistle. Joe has signed an affidavit. He's part of that. Right, he's part of the lawsuit. Right, we're using our platform, our voice, to make sure that the truth gets out that the mainstream media doesn't want us to hear about. The question everyone needs to ask themselves, though, is, are you doing enough? I don't even know if I'm doing enough. I feel like I should be doing more. And that's why I wanted to kind of talk about this historical episode. Because if these guys were willing to go to war against the police over a local election, surely we can do more to stop a national steal, right? To stop the steal. So that's kind of the theme of today's episode. To call on all of you, not to a call to arms, not a call for revolution, but a call for all of you to basically take on that mindset of the greatest generation. Take on the mindset of these heroes who said, yo, we're not going to let you steal our local election, and went to war against corrupt cops. Think about what they would do here. Dial it back a little bit and do it, right? Don't start strapping dynamite to police precincts. Don't do that. Do not do that. But there's a middle ground here. You can go to, you can go farther without going into open rebellion. And listen, as we've talked on the show, maybe we get to that point at some point. And I really hope we don't. As most of you know, I have one son. He's almost 3 years old. I have another son that's just 3 weeks old. The last thing I want to do is have to go fight in a revolutionary war or a civil war. I don't want to do that. But it's something that we'll all be called upon as members of that unregulated militia, unorganized militia under federal law. That's something that we all will be called to do if that time comes. So our whole effort, everything we do now, is not just to stop the steal, but to ensure that we don't get there. There are a lot of voices, and the media kind of exaggerates this, the Boogaloo boys or whatever you call it. These are guys that wear Hawaiian shirts and carry guns around. They're not real militias. It's more of a meme. It's more of a joke to them. But the mainstream media loves to amplify the voices that want to drive us towards armed conflict. Because there are people out there that want a civil war for a number of reasons, right? Who are actually eager for a civil war. If it gets to it, it gets to it, right? But it's our job to make sure that we exhaust every possible recourse, every possible avenue before it gets there, right? We have to fight like hell in every nonviolent way we can. So that if it gets to that point, we know that we had no choice. So that's what I'm calling on everyone to do today. Today, tomorrow, going forward, right? We saw in Georgia where they just certified the results and then the governor said, well, I want a full audit. It's BS, right? If he wanted a full audit, he should have had an audit, not certify the results. He certified the results as accurate and then went out to a camera and said, I want an investigation, right? He's just giving you lip service. In Wayne County, Michigan, where they refused to certify, and then tried to rescind, there's actually no legal way to rescind your vote. Once it's done, it's done. So they voted, and then they went to the mic and said, oh, no, we don't want to do that. We rescind. Well, again, talk is cheap. You see, in Pennsylvania, where the Pennsylvania legislature, as we mentioned, has now voted to initiate an investigation, a full audit of the election. Caveat, they're demanding that it be finished by next February. Far too late to ensure that the election is not stolen for Joe Biden before the inauguration. So we hear a lot of talk. We have to make sure that these GOP politicians, these cowards, these spineless idiots, that they don't get away with this, right? Because they're talking good talk, but while they're, it's basically misdirection. They're getting you all to pay attention to what they're doing here, and then they're robbing you here, right? They're saying, oh, we're going to fight. We're going to audit. And then while he's saying that, the Georgia governor is actually certifying the results. So part of what I'm talking about is fighting like hell to put pressure on these elected officials at all levels of government to make sure they know that they're not going to get away with this, right? There's an argument to be made that if the Republicans do not hold the line here, Republicans will never win another election. If the Democrats are able to get away with this theft, with this fraud, then Republicans will never be able to win again because they'll just keep building on it. That's one argument, right? The other argument is that if Republicans let this happen, they don't deserve to ever win another election. Right? It's a subtle difference. Same outcome. Look at Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney refused to actually fight in 2012, even though, as we've mentioned on other podcasts, he didn't get a single vote in 59 precincts in Philadelphia. That is statistically impossible, right? 59 precincts. Odds are that someone would at least accidentally vote for him. The odds of someone not getting a single vote in 59 precincts, it just doesn't happen. But Romney didn't fight. He said, oh, listen, I lost. I lost. Now Mitt Romney is calling on Trump to do the same. Mitt Romney would have conceded five times by now. He would have conceded, and then conceded again just to make sure we knew what he really felt. You see Lamar Alexander. Lamar Alexander represents Tennessee. Lamar Alexander is retiring at the end of the year. He has no pressure on him. He's done, right? He is now pressuring on Trump to concede and give up. Joni Ernst in Iowa rode Donald Trump's coattails. Joni Ernst would not have won without Donald Trump. It is Donald Trump who helped drag Joni Ernst across the finish line. And what's her thank you? She says now that Trump needs to concede. This is who we're dealing with, folks. People who think they can stab you in the back and you'll forget about it and keep supporting them. So again, part of this fight like hell mantra is to make sure that you make it known to every single elected official. If you want to use our fax blast system, it's a great way to do it. Also, there's a link in the description. Sign up for our email newsletter. We send out email alerts every day of what's going on to pressure Congress to do the right thing. Join our email newsletter, sign up for it, and you'll get those action alerts. We make it very easy to fight back against the cowards. But you got to fight. No matter how you do it, you got to fight. No keyboard warriors, no slacktivism. Slacktivism is the idea that you wrote a couple comments online, sit back and say, yeah, my job is done. No, no slacktivism. Get out and fight. Stop the steal. You don't have to go raid the National Guard Armory and start shooting cops like they did in Athens, Tennessee in 1946. And no one's really recommending you go do that. But you still got to do something. That if these brave men, this guy, Knox Henry, the sheriff on the GI ticket, maybe these guys, or maybe these guys, you got to do something that if they saw, they'd be proud of it. And that's what I'll leave you with today. If you like this weekend edition of the podcast, make sure that you subscribe on YouTube, hit the bell for notification. Also, make sure that you like and follow our Facebook page. As I mentioned at the start, we're looking to go live tonight at 10:30. I can't tell you who we're getting yet because it isn't completely finalized. Oh, let me give you a little hint. The title of the organization has Latin in it. So we're trying to get a guy, you know his name, and he runs an organization that has Latin in the name. So we're trying to get it for tonight. Not settled yet. So that's why we don't want to say we have him yet. We're still working out all the kinks. But if we do get it, we'll be live tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 Central, 8:30 Mountain, 7:30 Pacific. So make sure you tune in for that as well. And we will send out a text message so you can get that alert as well. We moved down a little bit in the rankings for Apple Podcasts. We're now, I believe, 33. We dropped a little bit, so we need your help. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. There's a link in the description. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a good review and download the podcast. If you hit subscribe, it'll automatically download. Very easy to do if you have an iPhone, a MacBook, or an iPad. If you don't and you still want to, please do also help us. We're trying to get sponsors for the show and all that. Make sure that you subscribe to our audio version on Google Play Store, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Podbean. All great places to listen. If you can't watch live, you can still listen as you go about your day. Also, again, text FREEDOM to 89517 and you'll receive text alerts when the podcasts go live. People saying that they got it today, which is great. We'll keep doing that. People seem to like it, and it just shows how Facebook and YouTube are putting their fingers on the scale to stop our alerts from going out. Also, we do have that newsletter, as I mentioned, link in the description. Sign up and you'll receive our action alerts. And we are on Parler at Conservative Daily. I am at Max McGuire. And then you can also follow Joe at Joe Altman. Follow us on Parler because eventually we will probably be leaving Facebook. Last person to leave Facebook, make sure you turn off the lights. But until then, we're going to keep using this platform to amplify our voice and get out and reach you. Oh, also, I can't forget this. The podcast is brought to you today by our store, the Conservative Daily Store. Conservative Daily Store. This is our Come and Take It Christmas shirt. It's probably too late now to get the Thanksgiving shirt, but order the Come and Take It Christmas shirt modeled after the famous Texas battle flag, Come and Take It with a Cannon, the Texans fighting the Mexican army. The Mexican army said, surrender your weapons, and Texas, in following like the Battle of Thermopylae, following the Spartan battle cry, said, come and take it. And they put it on a flag, and it's a thing in Texas. So we now have this. It's the Christmas version. because the left is coming after Christmas, just like they're coming after Thanksgiving, to criminalize the act of joining together with friends and family to celebrate the birth of Christ. So make sure that everyone knows you will not stand for that. Pick up one of these shirts, link in the description, help support the channel, and help piss off some liberals in the process. I think I did everything. That's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. Remember that the fight to take back our country clearly is not over, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together. Thank you.